This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. The Pope is here. He landed in Washington earlier this afternoon. He's got the evening off before his public schedule starts tomorrow. If you do happen to tune into one of his sermons over the next couple of days, you might hear a phrase that we don't hear much or really ever in this country. The Pope likes to talk about the global north and south, his view of where the world's wealth tends to be and where the environmental effects tend mostly to be felt. And being who he is, that's a potent worldview as we gear up for the next set of global talks on climate change coming up in December in Paris. From our sustainability desk, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Before the white smoke at the Vatican declared him Pope, he was sometimes called Bishop of the Slums at home in Argentina. He frequented the so-called misery villages in Buenos Aires.
Argentina, at the beginning of the 20th century, was one of the wealthiest countries in the world.
Joseph Kabosky teaches economics at Notre Dame.
And they've, you know, fallen. Now they're a middle-income country. And so material poverty is a bigger issue in a place like Argentina.
Clearly, this pope emphasizes the local poor and the global poor. In his words, there's an inequality between the global north and the global south. It's literal. The southern hemisphere is poorer than the northern. And it's also a metaphor, says Duke environmental economist Brian Murray.
Well, the north and the south is a commonly used dichotomy to divide the rich and the poor.
The Pope's climate encyclical speaks of an ecological debt owed to people in poorer countries. They suffer outsized effects of mining and drilling for minerals and energy. And they suffer outsized effects of climate change, says economist Jeffrey Sachs of Columbia University's Earth Institute. He advised the Pope's Vatican Council on Climate, and he Skyped us from South Africa.
The Pope is making a point that they are already suffering miserably from increasing environmental degradation, and they are likely to suffer the most the earliest.
A defining paper on climate economics called the Stern Review finds developing countries tend to be warmer to start out with. They rely more on farming and stable rain patterns. And when they aren't stable, Sachs says, it can affect the viability of an entire country or region. Take Syria.
The droughts were unrelenting, leading to crop failures as well as soaring food prices. And that turned into mass protests, government crackdowns, and into a bloodbath and a catastrophe.
There is a policy implication here. The Kyoto Climate Treaty, the basis of global talks, and the Pope's encyclical assume the rich countries bear more responsibility for addressing climate change. As the thinking goes, they industrialized and polluted first, and greenhouse gases often linger for centuries.
What this will do, though, is provide the developing countries some bargaining power, if you will, by reference to the moral authority of the Pope.
They could lowball their emissions reductions at the big global climate summit this December in Paris. Now, the focus on the poor and the rich has drawn criticism in the U.S. that the Pope could be Marxist, which he's denied, or that he's reviving a doctrine of preference for the poor known as liberation theology. At the very least, this is meant to shake up the rich countries, says Berkeley energy physicist Dan Kamen. He also advised the Vatican.
We don't want to reduce the quality of life. We want to reduce the footprint of that life. And that hasn't been emphasized so much in Western capitalist economies, but it's where we're starting to see a very interesting conversation around living within our resource means.
So if you're listening to the Pope this week, expect polemics on what he calls the so-called first world and its responsibilities. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.